Want to have your own business but don't want to start from scratch? Franchising might be the answer you're looking for. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show, the show that brings you thought leaders in business, franchising, and high-performance personal development. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Own a business without the pain and financial losses that come with creating it. Find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Learn how franchising can help you get there. Listen up and get ready for another episode of The Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to The Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in business, franchising, and high performance personal development. Today, we most certainly have an incredible guest, Rocky Lalvani, the founder of Profit First. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Nick. Great to be with you.
My goodness. So business, right? And the scoreboard. There is no greater equalizer in business than the P&L. The bottom line, profitability, it is your business scoreboard, most certainly. So Profit First, how did you go about starting this incredible organization?
So my company is Profit Comes First. The book is Profit First, and that's Mike Michalowicz's book. I started it because I was in the personal finance space for a while. I had learned the principles of building wealth as a kid, and I actually built my wealth as a W-2 employee. And then I was like, well, what do I really want to do? You know, working for a company is nice, but it's not my gig. And I was like, I'm going to teach people how to build their own wealth. And what I learned through that process is people want to learn how to get rich quick. Nobody wants to learn how to get rich slowly. Chances of you getting rich quick are about one in a billion. The chances of you getting rich slowly are one in one if you do it. The problem is nobody wants to do the one-to-one chance. They all want to do the one-to-the-billion chance. And throughout this whole process, I came to this learning that business owners weren't looking at their financials. I was like, how do you run a business and not understand the business of business in your reports? It turns out that business owners are people that went into business to do what they loved, and not a single one of them, or at least most of them, didn't like accounting. And so they ignored their numbers. They just went out and did what they loved, which is fine, except when you struggle with your profitability, when you don't know what the scoreboard says, when you're running a business blind on the financial side and wondering why you're struggling so much.
Yeah, having a competency around what drives your business.
Correct. I mean, if you're going to be in business, you're going to have to understand the business of business. Either you're going to be lucky or you're going to struggle. It's one or the other. And the statistics say that most businesses don't make it 5 years. Very few get to 10 years and hardly any get to seven figures. But the reality is if you understand the business of business and you figure out how to do it, your chances of success go up dramatically. And that's what we do. We try and help people to ensure that they're going to be successful.
What is the Profit First system?
So the Profit First system is something developed by Mike Michalowicz. If you haven't read Mike's book, I encourage you all to read Mike's books. He's an entrepreneur. He's a business guy who talks business like a business guy, not a business guy who talks business like an academic. So Mike actually owned a forensic data company. They investigated Enron. They investigated high-profile divorces. They were looking for, hey, let's go find where the money disappeared. And he did real well, sold his business, walked away with his payday. And within a couple of years, he thought he was a smart business guy, and he actually lost it all to the point that they came for the keys to the house and the car, and nobody wants to be there, right? So he went through that kind of downturn. And through that time, he started thinking, how did I get it wrong and how do we prevent this? And through that, he came up with the realization that the accountant gave us the wrong formula for profit. We're told sales minus profit, or sales minus expenses equals profit, which makes profit a leftover, an afterthought, a result of things that you don't have control over. And he said, well, no wonder this is a struggle. We're supposed to, right, be profitable. We're supposed to pay ourselves first. We're supposed to ensure that. Why don't we change the equation? So he changed the equation to sales minus profit equals expenses. And that little shift is a mindset shift. And then he built a cash flow system that works the way business owners work, which is basically to look at their bank balances and make choices based on their bank balances. And so he took the habits and leveraged them to their advantage. And that's basically what he talks about in the book. After writing the book, we found people still struggle to implement it. And so he's got a whole bunch of people like me who are certified to help people implement the system. But that's the first step we do. That's like our basics. And then on top of that, we layer on so much more to take people to have a growing and a much more profitable business. You work less. We don't believe in grinding it out and working harder. We believe you can work less and make more.
How do you do that?
How do you do that? Well, first, you got to look at your business and say, what is the math behind the business? Now, all businesses follow the same similar math setup. So let's talk about it. And I'm going to make this really simple. So please don't tune out because I said the word math. Everyone's got to drive revenue, correct? You need sales. That's understandable. How do you get to your sales? Well, your sales is how many sales you make times how much your average sale is. So we know that, right? If I sell $1,000 is my average sale and I have 100 sales, well, I've made $100,000. Okay, well, how do I make 100 sales? Well, I need leads. Well, how many leads did you get? Well, maybe you got 1,000 leads. You had a 10% close rate, which created your 100 sales at $1,000. And now we got to $1,000. That's the basics of revenue generation. But behind each of those numbers, there could be 100 other things that go on. So behind lead generation is, okay, I had 1,000 leads, 100 were Facebook, 100 were YouTube, 100 were postcards, 100 were phone calls. Then we start looking, hey, which ones work better than others? Where should we be spending our time and efforts? Where should we put money behind our marketing to get more people to show up? Then we look at our conversion rate. Hey, do all my salespeople convert at the same rate? Do some do better than others? What makes this one or this channel or this better than that? How do we now start to systematize this across everybody? Because let's face it, if I could simply take you from a 10% to a 20% conversion rate, you would double your sales without spending any more money just by learning that process. Maybe $100 is too cheap. Maybe we should be charging $200. We just doubled your sales by charging the appropriate price. Too many business owners underprice their products. They don't really understand the value of what they deliver. So that's the whole revenue generation side. Now, once you make revenue, it costs money, right? So where is all your money going? Is the amount of money going out the door appropriate for your business model and for what it is? And at the end of the day, is there enough money left for you to pay yourself and to have a profit? And that's the question. So that's your P&L. And that's where that comes from. And then the last part, people say to me, well, my P&L said I was profitable. My accountant told me on taxes I was profitable and I have no cash. Where'd my cash go? Then we look at the last part of the equation. Where did the cash disappear? So cash disappears to inventory. Cash disappears to accounts receivable. Somebody bought something, you delivered it, but you didn't collect. So there's some cash out there. You thought you had the sale, but there was no cash. It could disappear because you treat your business like a piggy bank and you've been paying for stuff because it's tax deductions or whatever, and cash is disappearing. Maybe you have debt payments. If you have debt payments, they don't show up necessarily on your P&L. And so while you might be profitable, you may not have cash. And that's the last part of the equation. All of this stuff is pretty standard, but then we go in and we tweak it because each business is a little bit different. And how does it work for your business? And then once we see the whole thing, we can go, you know, Nick, if you made this little bitty change over here, you could make your profits go up 50%. Are you willing to make that change? Are you willing to make a small choice to make twice as much money? And that's a choice you'll have to make.
Yeah, clearly you have to understand the story that the financial statements tell.
That's correct. You do. And I don't think most people understand them. I think the other problem is most accountants look at your financial statements as what occurred. Here's the thing. Most business owners, by the time they find out what occurred, don't care. I want to know what to do tomorrow. And that's where the financial statements for a lot of business owners are so far behind, they're irrelevant. And what we do is we actually figure it out going forward and work backwards to say, what do I need today so that tomorrow I have a growing and more profitable business?
Look at a controller, a bookkeeper, a CFO, an accountant. If you're an organization that is growing and has access to one of each of those, and that's the appropriate size for that entity, so as a business owner, how do you leverage those four professionals?
So the first thing is to understand that each of these four professionals has a very different skill set, a very different desired outcome, and a very different lens at how they look at your business. Okay? So let's just walk through them all. The lens of the bookkeeper is, I have all these transactions from everywhere. I need to classify them in a systematic way. And so that's what a bookkeeper does. They make sure that your accounting system is classifying all of the incoming transactions appropriately. And that's their goal. Don't ask them to figure out whether you're profitable. Maybe some of them can do it because they look at the report, but most of them, that's their skill set. Now, your controller, their job is to make sure that there is a good system in place so that the bookkeeper is getting the right information at the right time, that everything is flowing to where it belongs to go through, because you might be getting information from 10 different places. Their job is to make sure that there are fraud controls in place. Their job is to make sure that the actual processes of how you bill out and how you collect and how it gets to the bank, that all of those processes are in the right place, that they're working and they're communicating, and that all of that is being done. Again, they are not strategy people. They are kind of more systematic. They build the machine for the business and they keep the machine running. And then the bookkeeper is taking the data and actually doing the work on the machine. Now, you talked about an accountant. Most accountants are tax people. All they care about is filling out the tax return correctly to report to the IRS, because they have to sign your tax return too. So they want to make sure that they feel comfortable that this accurately reflects your business. Again, their job is not to make you profitable. It's not to make you grow. It's to record what happened last year, compliant with what the IRS wants. in a way the IRS wants it. So the IRS might tax you based on their rules, but their rules have nothing to do with your cash flow. You could have no money in the bank and owe $100,000 in taxes. That happens all the time. The CFO's job is strategy. They should be looking at all those different components, making sure that they're correct and they're working. But then their job is to take that information and turn it into a forward-looking strategy. Now, not all CFOs do this, but that is what they should do. Depends on their background, their training, how they look at things. People who come from an accounting background have an accounting perspective. People who come from a business and entrepreneurial background have an entrepreneurial view of the numbers. So for me, I come from that entrepreneurial background. I'll take all the data from everybody, but I want to know how to take that data and turn it into actionable steps that we can take that are easy and quick to increase your profit and grow your business.
Yeah, I'm sure every business is different, but when you start looking at KPIs, right, you're talking a lot about budgeting and forecasting. There has to be financial KPIs, ratios that are reported on in this process so that you can proactively double down on what grows the business, simply put, right? So what are some KPIs? Could you talk to us about your approach with KPIs?
So what we do is we look at each business because each business is different, right? You could have two businesses in the same industry that have two totally different business models. And so what we do is we figure out what are the KPIs that make sense for this business that actually matter and that we can make a difference with. So, but some basic examples, you know, for some businesses, it's about lead flow. For some businesses, it might be the conversion rates. For some businesses, it might be client retention. For some businesses, it could be the gross profit margin and making sure that they're doing that. And the gross profit margin then drives the pricing. So it could be all of those things, the number of transactions, the number of sales, so many different KPIs. They're all important, but some in each business has their own handful that are truly the drivers of that business. Because in some businesses, you don't have control over a KPI. In other words, if I'm going to put something on Amazon and sell it, I can't really control how many people show up at Amazon looking for what I'm selling. So it doesn't matter. Like, that's irrelevant to me. And that's the thing. Whereas if it's my own website, now all of a sudden, how many people show up at my website is important. And so it's just understanding those differences, figuring out what's most important for that business and that business owner.
Can you speak to an industry and some simple ratios, KPIs, benchmarks?
I don't know them off the top of my head because there's so many industries and so many things, but I'll give you a couple of things just off the top. How many of your potential leads turn into clients? Like, if it's less than 50%, there's a problem there. Either you're reaching the wrong people, you've got the wrong message, you're out of sync price-wise, something's not right. So if you can't convert half your leads, you got to ask yourself, is this industry really constrained where that's the norm? Or am I not doing a good job on the sales cycle? The other one is gross profit. You end up with a gross profit margin less than 30%. You are almost destined for failure unless you can drive massive amounts of revenue, and that's your business model. So I think that's the other big one that we look at. And then the last one is profit. If you've got a profit margin less than 10%, one bad month and you're in trouble. So you really have to look at, those are probably some of the top line ones and just some ways to look at it. And it's looking at everything. But here's the thing. Everyone wants to know, what's the benchmark for my industry? I'm going to tell you something. The benchmark is average. We don't work with average people. So if you want to be average, well, just do what average does. I'm not interested. The question is, how do we blow out every benchmark? How do we reinvent a business to do things so dramatically different that nobody can touch us?
How do you begin helping a client, you know, realize that?
How do they realize it? Or how do we take their data and turn it into a story? Because those are two different things. If you don't know you're in trouble, I don't know what to tell you. There are business owners who just don't want to deal with the money and don't want to deal with it. And you know what? I'm not going to talk to them. Have a great time. Enjoy your business. We're not a good fit. But if you are somebody that wants help, then what we do is we look at their current systems. We look at all of these different data points, and then we start to build for them a custom dashboard, a custom scoreboard that makes sense for their business. And then we take baby steps from where they are to where they need to be. It takes time to bring about the changes that we talk about. It might be 2 or 3 years. This is not overnight success.
Yeah, most entrepreneurs don't want to hear that, as you mentioned.
I'm not a good fit for them, and I'm okay with that.
And that's because you need to move the ship.
Yeah. Look, people have a variety of different reasons for going into business. Some people actually want to get better. And I think the biggest surprising learning that I had was how many people who don't actually want to do the work to improve. And I'm like, you know what? Okay, I can't do anything about that. I'm not going to beat my head anymore.
You have your top 20, your middle 60, your bottom 20.
We believe that you should be in the top 20, if not higher. Let everything else go. Because most of things below the top 20, actually unprofitable. And while they might bring in cash, there's a good chance that they are actually an anchor on your business.
You're saying, what is an anchor?
I'm saying the people, especially the bottom 20%, are definitely an anchor. That middle 60%, they might be an anchor. They might be a slow drag, but there's a good chance that they're really not helping you to move forward. You're in the grind. You're hustling and hustling and hustling and wondering why you don't see a lot of return.
And business owners have that same equation as well, right? You have top 20% of owners, middle 60, bottom 20. Profitable owners are probably the top 50%. Is it less? Top third?
Oh, well, what percent of businesses don't make it 5 years? And what percent of businesses
80?
Don't?
80%.
80. So there's your top 20. And if you go out to 10 years, the number's even worse. So
yeah, 80% of those don't make it.
So there you go. Like I said, you got to play in the top percentage points. Everyone else, wasting time.
Would you say that you're already in the top percentile just by looking at your numbers and knowing them?
Yeah. So if you go into the Profit First book and you read it, Mike says 80% of business owners don't even have financials or look at them.
Exactly. Okay? Right. We're seeing some correlation here.
We are. Out of the 20% that is left, 3/4 of them look at their numbers, but don't know what to do. 5% actually look at their numbers and know what to do. And that's why the 10-year survival rate for a business is about 5%.
There you go.
Surprising, isn't it? That's what it comes down to. You understand your numbers and you understand the language of business. Chances are you will survive.
You're going to double down. You're going to clamp on to those profit generators versus running around busy.
And too many
with
people.
With no direction.
Yep. Too many people run around busy.
Oh my gosh. Wow. The great equalizer, an objective scoreboard.
Yep. The Super Bowl was this last weekend, right?
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Imagine they held the Super Bowl. There was no scoreboard, no lines on the field, no game clock, right? You think anyone be watching the Super Bowl? No. I hope you're not running your business that way.
Yeah, I always love talking about conversions and sales and getting better at this metric. I always love from a sales perspective, speaking of, you know, football analogies, it'd be silly for the quarterback and the receiver to say, we're going to have an all-time year. We're going to go 16-0 this year, and we're going to win the Super Bowl. But we're not going to practice. We're just going to show up and compete on game day. So in sales, you have to role play. You have to study your scripts. You have to know your rebuttals. You have to understand your solutions and be consistent about your sales process. And so much like running a route on a football team, you're going to know precisely how many yards and when you turn, and that quarterback, that receiver are going to have this innate chemistry where the receiver just turns around and the ball's there. That is the byproduct of repetition, repetition, repetition. And that's not sexy, right? Looking at the numbers is not sexy. It's not
fun. It is for me.
About, it's not fun
it's
to talk
sexy
about
for
ratios
me. I like looking at cash in the bank.
Well, of course, but only 5% get to.
Well, that's your choice. We all have a choice.
So what I'm saying is that 5% is good at the X's and O's, the things that are not sexy, right? It's creating the ratios, doing the work to understand your books and the levers within them, and then the consistency to be proactive about driving them and tying them to operational SOPs, right? That funnel toward those levers that help you be in business for many, many years and give a lot of value. My goodness, it's incredible. I think everywhere in life that you look, whether it's the classrooms growing up as a student, the football teams that we're talking about, or just whatever organization in any industry, you have those top 5% of folks. And yeah, clearly you are providing a path for the top 5% of performers. What incredible work, to your point, exciting work, but you have to do the non-sexy work for it to be exciting. And that can take 4 years. And that can be the long game versus instant gratification. Hey, you know, I turned on the lights of the business. It should be just printing money.
Very much so.
Yeah, you've certainly inspired me. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing. You've been at this for how many years?
So we started the business almost 5 years ago.
Wow. And in finance for looking at spreadsheets. Oh,
my whole life. Yeah, that goes back to being a teenager. Mm-hmm. It's been there a long, long time. It's what I love doing. Right? They tell me stories.
Yeah. So what is your superhuman power?
Literally, a lot of people will look at numbers and they just see a block of data that they can't tell. I have this ability to look at numbers and see what's happening inside of them, where the differences are, where things don't look right, and then figuring out the story behind the numbers and being able to then just pinpoint that out. And then being able to just hone in on where the issues are.
So LIME stands for love, integrity, mission, and excellence. I have to ask you, what is your favorite value and why?
So I don't know how people pick between these. That to me makes no sense, right? Like people, it just doesn't. You have to figure out how they all go together for you and how to make sure that you are honoring each and every one of them, I think.
Yeah, our team and folks at LIME often joke that, hey, which one am I this go around, right? Because just depends on what season you're in. And it's fun to do business a certain way. Clearly, you have been serving folks for a long time. If anyone would like to get in touch with you, how can they do that?
My website is Profit Comes First. And from there, you can find the podcast where we share everything we do for our clients, tremendous amount of success stories and ideas for you to have a growing and more profitable business. And that's all at ProfitComesFirst.com.
Profit Comes First. You heard it from Rocky, based in Pennsylvania. and doing some incredible work. If you have enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to the channel. It's how we are able to continue to grow, to bring on talented individuals like Rocky to help us all level up. As mentioned, I have certainly leveled up. Hit the like, drop a comment down below, and as always, level up.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show. Remember, it's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.